from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is that?
It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Tyler's out right now. They're kind of evaluating him. He had some discomfort, and you know, we're going to hold him out. We're going to be very cautious with Tyler, obviously. It's not anything he needs right now in terms of practice, so we'll kind of rest him up there.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Coming up next on the program, we'll play a little buy or sell, check in on the stock market, answer some questions. All in the world of sports from Quick Draw McGraw. That's at 12:15. Right now, we're getting you some news from the Nest. You just heard from head coach John Harbaugh giving an update on center Tyler Linderbaum dealing with a soft tissue issue. And John Harbaugh saying they're going to be cautious with him, and rightfully so.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's a hamstring. And he's as important to that O-line as anybody, because he's... probably he's your best player.
Yeah.
He's your best player. So take your time, because you know what? You're trying to develop a backup. You're trying to find a backup. So this kind of accelerates that program, because you get a chance to play a lot of guys with the ones in there and see who can handle it and who can't handle it. But it's not going to be solved until one or two preseason games.
Let's hear another cut here from the head coach as he talks about what to expect from the first preseason game on Friday night.
Yeah, I think we'll get a lot of questions answered in this game in terms of where everybody's at this time in a real game situation. Blocking, tackling, catching the ball, how we handle our assignments, things like that. It'll be very interesting.
I think the big thing, Cordell, in this opener, although it's supposed to be heavy rains, so let's just talk as if there isn't anything. To me, it's about who shows up. Because, like you said, none of the starter-type guys are going to play. So who shows up? And then in your competition, it's all about third running back. Who jumps out there? And then your offensive line. I mean, all of them. You know, I mean, Ronnie's not going to play, but who's capable of being a left tackle? And then how's Voorhees? And then who's going to be your right side? Who's going to be the backup center? All those types of things. Whereas I think more defensively, I don't think there's as many jobs
up for grabs right now.
I don't think so, Cordell. You know, whereas offensively, you got third team running back. Maybe you got a fifth or sixth receiver, possibly. Those, you know, backup quarterback. So there's more opportunities on the offensive side than the defensive side. But if it's pouring down rain like it's being called for, really what kind of footing? Because they have grass field.
Right.
What kind of footing are you getting? And are you not, you know, is it just kind of a waste of time?
Yeah, I'm curious. Like you said, with the defense, it isn't many spots necessarily up for grabs. The secondary seems pretty deep, so I'm wondering how many DBs they're going to keep when it's all said and done, because they've got a nice size group of guys that I feel like they're comfortable playing.
Usually you keep 9 to 11.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 11 if you're real good. They'll keep, I'm guessing, four inside backers, five D linemen.
Okay.
Five D line. And then outside backers. I mean, Cordell, how many you got? Owe, you got Van Noy.
Ajabo, Robinson.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing with Ajabo is right now he can't help you.
Mm-hmm.
So you keep four outside backers. So that's 9, that's 13. So that might even be a little light, because then if you kept 11 DBs, that's only 24. A lot of times with defense, you keep, because a lot of times that's where your special teams people come from.
Right.
And you keep like 26 or 27 on defense. So, yeah, roughly. And you're only going to keep two quarterbacks.
And I'm curious with the new kickoff rules, what types of players they want to keep for that. It may change. We've heard a lot of coaches, special teams coaches, talk about how they're looking at least just, and that's just one element of special teams, the new kickoff rule. But maybe we see different types of guys playing in those roles compared to what it used to be because of the new alignment. So we'll see. Let's go hear from one of their defensive backs, Ardarius Washington. Here he is talking about the competitiveness in the secondary.
And more you can do. You know, competition is great. You know, it brings out the best of us and everything like that. But, man, I feel like I've been doing a pretty good job. You know, still learning a little bit. You know, flying around and making some plays.
Yeah, I mean, he is out there. To his credit, he's out there. They like him. They continue to put him out there.
Mm-hmm.
He does make plays. He's around the ball quite a bit. He knows what he's doing. I just, you know, especially with the addition of Eddie Jackson, now I do wonder what is the outlook on Ardarius Washington.
The thing that I say about Ardarius Washington is to me the killer is his height.
Mm-hmm.
Because covering tight ends and stuff, it's a mismatch. And I guess if he's one of your better special teamers, maybe. And because you're going to keep 1, 2, 3, 4, what do you think, 6 corners?
At least. At least. I mean, are we including TJ Tampa in that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I know he's going to be on the team. I'm only asking because he's on PUP right now.
Right.
But Nate, Armour Davis, Millett, Stevens, Marlon, how many is that? Is that 5?
Let me see. Davis, Millett is 2. Stevens is 3.
Wiggins
is 4.
Armour
Tampa's
Davis.
5. Armour Davis is 6. Marlon 7. So probably 7 corners. 7 corners, and I think 7 corners, 4 safeties.
Mm-hmm.
I think they do keep 11 DBs.
Yeah, I could see it. I mean, especially now with, you don't know if Trenton Simpson, especially not off the bat, I don't expect Trenton Simpson to be a 3-down linebacker. So we could see a lot of dime packages for them putting a lot of DBs on the field. Let's hear one more from, this one is from Malik Harrison, linebacker, saying he just wants to get on the field.
To be honest, any way to get me on the field, that's just how I feel. They want me to play inside. I play 3-tech. I play anything they want me to play.
And that's kind of the mindset he needs to have, because the reality is they may need him for multiple different roles, from special teams to playing inside to playing outside.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking about just sitting here, Cordell? I mean, when we're talking about, you know, number of guys to keep and all, it's going to be hard for the Ravens to get anybody through. Reason being is you got Mike McDonald, you got Weaver.
Right.
You know, you got a lot of coaches that were just here. So any defensive player that they cut, first thing those guys are going to do is look at the mm-hmm. roster there. So for the Ravens to get any decent player through, it's going to be interesting. Because, like, where does Darryl Worley fit in?
Right. I mean, I don't know if he does. It hasn't been, you know, the best camp for him to this point. He's a guy that they trust. He's got that comfortability with this defense. But at the end, is I do think it's going to turn out to be a numbers game. And if our if they really do view our Darius Washington ahead of Worley, I think that could be the spot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, to me, this is the deepest that secondary's been with quality players and guys that can run, athletic guys and stuff. Because, to me, the brightest surprise has been Marlon Humphrey because he looks like a player again.
Yeah.
He's dropped 10 pounds, he said. We went from 200 to 190, and he looks so much better. So much better.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll play a little buy or sell, bring in Quick Draw McGraw, check in on the stock market, all that and more next here on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Yeah.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Coming up next at 12:30, we'll bring in Ben Nicholson. Talk some Blue Jays baseball with him. He's from Sportsnet out in Toronto. Right now, we're playing a little buy or sell. And Vinny, how's that stock market looking?
Well, Cordell, yesterday we were down 1,100. Yesterday it was nasty. Today, the Dow is up 515.
Yes.
The S&P's up 97. NASDAQ's up 316. DraftKings only up a nickel, 31.85. Under Armour's up 14 cents to 632. So a rebound day today after the sell-off yesterday.
We like those.
All right, we'll start here in Major League Baseball. Paul Skeens, he's accomplished a lot so far as a rookie, helping the Pirates become more competitive in the process. Pittsburgh actually within striking distance of a wild card spot there in the National League. But what makes things interesting is that Skeens is already sitting at 113 innings pitched on the year. The staff is going to have a lot to consider down the stretch. Last year, when he pitched a full college season with LSU and then got a taste of the Pirates farm system, he tossed a career high 132 innings. So coming up on that innings limit for him, if they go over, it certainly won't be too much over. A tough call, though, a tough spot to be in. They were already criticized heavily for slow playing him out of spring training this year. But buy or sell, Cordell, the Pirates will end up prioritizing the health of their top player over competing for a wild card spot.
Yeah, I'll buy that. I'll buy that. I mean, Skeens is clearly the future there, and he's the future in a lot of different aspects, and he's turned that Pirates team around to a degree in a lot of different ways. I think financially, fans, they want to see Paul Skeens. I think it'll end up playing itself out, and the Pirates will end up kind of falling out of the wild card race anyway, and I think that'll help them be able to kind of make that decision to sit him down. So I do think at some point they kind of take him out of there.
We'll move over to the NFL. The 24 Hall of Fame class was just inducted this past weekend, so now we can look ahead to next year's ballot, where two former Ravens will be eligible for the first time. Terrell Suggs, who holds the franchise sack record, was one of the clear-cut best pass rushers of his era. Also, Marshall Yanda, the model of consistency up front for over a decade, plenty of all-pro accolades next to his name. Now, despite being a franchise for just 28 years, the Ravens already have three in the Hall of Fame. Ogden, Lewis, and Reed, all first ballot Hall of Famers at that. Vinny, buy or sell, at least one of these two, Suggs or Yanda, will make it in first ballot next year.
Yeah, I don't think Yanda does. Suggs is a definite possibility, although there was a lot of pass rushers this past year. You know, so the ones that got passed by last year positionally, you know, for the pass rushers, I think it's going to be tough for either one to get in the first year. But if somebody does, it sucks.
Go back to baseball here. Little news with the Astros. Not good news for them. They've dealt with a ton of pitching injuries this year. And one guy they've been without for quite a while, Lance McCullers Jr., well, he's been already ruled out for the remainder of 2024. Recently announced there he will not pitch again this season, which means he's going to miss two full seasons back-to-back. The last time he pitched was in 2022. Around that same time or a year prior, Houston had committed a lot of money to him. They signed him to a big contract extension. It still lasts through the 2026 season, but again, he's only tossed roughly 200 innings since he signed it. Cordell, are you buying or selling that McCullers pitches a full season again before his contract is up?
When did you say his contract ends?
He's got two more seasons, next year in 2026.
A full season. I'll sell that. I mean, I just don't have anything to necessarily back up my feeling of him doing that. It's getting to the point of similar to like Mike Trout, who it just feels like every year his year has just kind of gone down the drain because he's on IL. He's now dealing with this similar type of injury that he's dealt with in the past. And it just feels like for some of these pitchers, things kind of get worse before they start to get better. So, yeah, I'm going to have to sell that one.
And we'll close with this here in the NFL. Tyreek Hill got the contract restructure that he was searching for after a couple players actually one-upped him recently in the wide receiver department. Justin Jefferson, A.J. Brown, and Amon-Ra St. Brown all receiving contracts with a higher annual salary than Tyreek Hill. The new deal or the new restructure for him, he gets roughly an $11 million bump over the next 2 years. Miami, though, to their credit, still retains some flexibility with his 2026 salary not becoming guaranteed until we reach that year. So they still control an out. Don't know why they would want one. He's as good as they come. But wide receivers are seemingly never happy these days. Hard to argue against Hill deserving the bump. But Vinny, buy or sell, we will see other prominent wide receivers call for restructures like Hill did. Some names that signed around the same time he did that come to mind are Cooper Kupp and Davante Adams.
I'll buy it because they always, well, it's the agents that they're trying to, you know, get new clients. But let me just say, Tyreek Hill, he deserved it. And what he got, the thing that he got was he got the most guaranteed money of any receiver. So that was his big win. And that was Drew Rosenhaus's big win.
Yeah, it was. And I think receivers, like we talked about with Ayuk earlier, I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon.
Just like quarterbacks. I mean, yeah. You know, does Tua and Lawrence and all those guys need to deserve to be paid more than Mahomes and Lamar and everybody? No. But that's just where the market is. Yep.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll switch gears, talk some baseball. Orioles in Toronto to take on the Blue Jays. We'll bring in Ben Nicholson Smith from Sportsnet to talk about what's happening with the Blue Jays post the trade deadline and All-Star break. That's next here on The Fan. Perfect time to bring in Ben Nicholson Smith. He covers the Blue Jays for Sportsnet. Ben, what's going on?
Not a whole lot. Good to be talking with you guys today. How are you?
Not bad. Appreciate your time today. And the Blue Jays, you know, it's a lot of conversations around this team and they still have some really good talent in some of their guys on their roster. And now that the trade deadline has come and gone and you get to see who's staying put, at least for the remainder of this year, what's kind of the feel like around this team? Is they're still, you know, kind of trying to make some magic happen here to sneak into a wild card spot?
Yeah, it was a really busy week for the Blue Jays last week, of course, in Baltimore, visiting the Orioles at the trade deadline. And we really saw two teams going in really different directions, of course, with Baltimore adding and trying to reinforce and even giving up some prospects. And then in contrast to that, the Blue Jays trying to get some new young players into the organization because it just hasn't been their year. They had to be sellers. It really hasn't gone according to plan. So they're not contending. It's been a pretty bad year for them, but they're going to try to reset and try to be a better team next year and get back into that playoff picture.
Now, Ben, what do you, after this season, who survives management-wise, coaching-wise?
You know, yeah, that's the big question, right? Like, at this point, it's a pretty open question, but there's a lot of speculation, certainly amongst the fan base, and I've heard speculation from folks with other organizations in different cities, just as far as, hey, what's next year? And I think that's the logical question. When you get to the end of the ninth season of Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro in charge of baseball operations here, and the results aren't where the team wants them to be. They aren't where the fan base wants them to be. So we're actually going to hear from Mark Shapiro tomorrow. He's going to address the media and take questions for the first time since opening day. So, you know, that'll be interesting, and I'm really curious to see what he has to say about Ross Atkins, because I think that's probably the biggest question circling around this team right now.
Ben, how did we get to this point? You know, the Blue Jays have been thought of for the last few seasons as a team that's had some of the best young talent on their team, and guys like Vlad Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette, and you bring in a George Springer, the seasoned veteran who's been used to winning. Just how did it go from, you know, the optimism of a team that has a ton of potential to a team now that's underachieving?
Yeah, it happened pretty fast too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even last year, they were in the playoffs and playoffs didn't go their way. Obviously, 3-game series, it's tough to really, you know, prove yourself sometimes in such a short period. But yeah, this season really didn't go well. And I think that as for the bigger questions around this team, I think there are a lot of them. I mean, there's a question of, do they draft well enough? I would say no, based on what I've seen. There's a question of, do they develop the talent that they have well enough? And you get some good success stories, and you get some players on the pitching side especially who just haven't reached their potential, whether that's someone like a Nate Pearson who, you know, came up as this huge prospect and they just traded him to the Cubs for a couple, you know, role players at the minor league level. So They haven't necessarily drafted and developed as well as they would hope, and they've had some injuries. I know every team does, so you've got to overcome injuries, and the Jays just haven't done enough of that this season.
Now, Ben, has the fan base moved on to the Maple Leafs already?
Oh, man. Yeah, as you guys probably know, the Leafs probably cause more stress and angst here than the Blue Jays do, so I don't know that the Leafs are going to make anyone feel a lot better. I think if anything, people are probably watching the Olympics now and just taking a little mini holiday from the stress of the baseball season. But no, people love the Jays. I mean, the Jays have a huge, huge following here. They're one of the biggest teams in all of Canada as far as, you know, NBA, NHL, anything along those lines. So they have a huge following. There's a lot of frustration right now because their team is underachieving. And has for quite some time.
Well, we know over the last couple of years, it's been really for a while now, it's been the Yankees at the top of this division. Depending on the year, it'll be the Red Sox, and you'll get the Tampa Bay Rays in there as well. The Rays aren't having the great year themselves this year, but the Orioles the last couple of seasons have been able to kind of turn those lean years into successful draft picks who are now kind of blossoming into really good young players. What's kind of the view of this new look AL East now with the way that these teams are orchestrated in the division?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that whether you're talking to coaches, front office people, or fans, it's impossible to deny how good the Orioles are and how impressive they have been as an organization to get to this point. Just the young position player talent alone is so impressive to have guys like, you know, Jackson Holliday obviously coming up now for the second time, or Kobe Mayo coming up. Even having the depth to trade away Norby and Stowers is kind of an enviable position to be in. What, you know, regardless of what you think about that Rogers trade and whether that was the guy to do it for, to have that kind of depth is pretty impressive. And so I think that, you know, Baltimore, even beyond the American League East, is just one of the scariest teams, you know, depending on what they do with Corbin Burns after the season, how their bullpen additions play out. I mean, like every team, they have questions, but they're really good. And I think that, you know, they're in a small group of teams along with probably the Phillies, the Dodgers, the Yankees. They really scare everybody. And so for anyone in this division, that's a huge part of everything that happens.
Hey, Ben, how does Toronto win the series this week?
Well, they'll have to hit. They got some new young players up here, right? Like a Joey Loperfido, who came over in that trade for Yusei Kikuchi. So if they can get a little offense going, that'll help. I don't know. I mean, the Orioles are so much better than the Jays right now. It's like but it's baseball. So who knows, right? Like, I mean, the Jays could sweep Baltimore. It wouldn't really change what I think about either team. But, you know, you got to show up and do your thing out there on the field when the lights are on.
Ben, really appreciate your time, man. Great stuff today. Well, really hope you get to enjoy this series out in Toronto. Orioles out in Toronto taking on the Blue Jays starting tonight. Appreciate your time, Ben, and hopefully we get to talk again down the line.
Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, looking forward to it, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get back to the Ravens of it all. We've talked a little bit about this pass rush. We talked about how good Adafe Owe has looked so far in training camp. Not the same to be said for David Ajabo. Will David Ajabo be a factor for this pass rush this season? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan. Or so, and we've been talking a lot about training camp and this pass rush and some of the guys that have stood out. But David Ajabo hasn't, to this point, been a guy that stood out to us. Where's your optimism level on him being a big part of this pass rush this year?
Until I see that his knee is 100% and he's not limping or hobbling around a little bit, I think the leg gets tired and it gets stiff. And he does look stiff right now. I think he's a ways away, Cordell, to be totally honest. I don't think he's going to help them anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, I haven't been able to see a lot of flashing from Ajabo, and it's not like he's going up against Stanley every play. You know, it's
right.
He's going up against some of these backup guys, and it's still a work in progress. And honestly, and a part of me wants to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's still working his way back, and maybe that is a part of it, but I can't help but think back to last year's preseason where he's going up against backup guys then, and you're still not seeing a lot from him. The Commanders' offensive line was absolute garbage last year, and the joint, I think the first day of joint practices, you got to see Ajabo flash quite a bit, but definitely not in the game that week.
I have not seen the David Ajabo that I saw at Michigan yet for the Ravens. You know, and I mean, that's two major surgeries after. I just don't think that he is 100%. I mean, Cordell, a lot of times it takes, because he had the ACL, and what are we at, 8 months or 9 months? And I just think it's going to take him a lot longer yet, because even that one, like, I think it's his right leg, it doesn't look as big.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it tires, and then when it tires, because I know I've had it, when it tires, it gets stiff. And that's what it looks like, because he's not running with a normal gait.
The problem for me with Ajabo right now is we're going into year three.
I know.
You know,
I hear you.
We're going into year three. It's not like this dude is a first round pick where you're going to have that fifth year option. And even if you did, I mean, what have you seen to this point to warrant you picking that up? It's just time is running out for Ajabo to be able to really show what he can do for this defense. And I just fear that we may not get to see the best version of David Ajabo within these next 2 years.
I'd like him just to be totally, totally healthy at one point. Then I think, you know, we can maybe see the real David Ajabo, the one. I mean, if he doesn't get hurt at his pro day, he's probably going in the top 10. That's what I mean, because he was really good at Michigan. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could bend a corner and he had counters and stuff. I haven't seen that as a Raven yet. He just doesn't look like the same athletic ability, and maybe it's because of the Achilles and it's the knee and everything else, but he just hadn't been able to put it all together yet. But I feel bad for the kid because he seems like a great kid, but he's a ways away for him to really be a legitimate help. I mean, I heard Canales, the Charlotte coach, talk the other day. He says, Clowney is killing us at practice. Mm-hmm. Says it's in the backfield all day, every day.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and Clowney, we know how good of a year he had for the Ravens last year, and that's going to be a big loss, him no longer being a part of this team, and they're going to be relying on some of these guys like Ajabo, like a Tavius Robinson, who's going to be a part of that rotation as well.
What do you think of Tavius? I just don't like long striding guys. You know, he doesn't have nifty feet as a pass rusher.
I don't think he's a pass rushing guy. I think he's really good in the run.
Yeah.
But I don't look at him and see a guy that's necessarily going to be living in the backfield in passing situations. He's a strong guy. He's a big guy. But just doesn't have necessarily like the quickness, I think, to really beat guys to get to the quarterback.
Totally, yeah. He doesn't, the nifty feet and the long striding. And then I think Van Noy doesn't play to run. So, I mean, you're going to have Malik Harrison playing some against the run, too. The only guy who can play all three downs to me right now is Oweh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Oweh's having a great camp. I mean, I can't deny that.
I'm hoping that, you know what he needs is? He needs, like, against Kansas City, have success. And, you know, kind of like when Jackson Holiday hits the grand slam, then, mm-hmm. You just take off. He needs a sack or two that Thursday night. Everybody's talking about him. He's pumped up. And the confidence is like off the charts.
Well, that's what happened for him his rookie year. Think back to his rookie year. He was making impact plays kind of right off the bat. You know, one of them coming against the Chiefs in his rookie year. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. I think he needs to get off to a hot start to kind of catapult him to where the rest of his season could go. Because if it's just going to be he's a background dancer for the first couple of games, then I fear it could end up being the same thing all over again. Well, Vinny's on his way to one winning drive. Me and Nolan will hold things down until 2 o'clock. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll feed you some NFL lunch. We'll check in and see what's going on in the Brandon Ayuk trade rumors. A couple of fights going on in some of these joint practices between the Giants and the Lions. A lot going on in the NFL. We'll talk about it all next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.